Well, welcome again to our third Sunday of Advent, our fourth week into our sermon series called The Journey. And if you've been following along or know the Christmas story, we know that the Christmas story has not been an easy one for Mary and Joseph. Mary, a young woman, gets a big surprise by an angel and a big responsibility. Imagine, if you will, an angel showing up and said, "Hey, Mary, guess what? You're having God's son. Go get him." And Mary's spiritual and physical journeys begin. We know that she was willing, but as one might expect, that overwhelmingly thought sinks in, and she becomes anxious. So she travels many days to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And last week, we looked at how Elizabeth gives Mary comfort and encouragement. And after her visit to Elizabeth, she has enough courage that she's able to go back to Joseph and tell him what has happened. And we know from Joseph's point of view, this did not go over well at first. Joseph plans on divorcing her. And so Mary's emotional roller coaster may have come crashing back down. And then Joseph has a dream and realizes this is not just a journey for Mary, but a journey that they are to make together. And as far as we know, there are a lot of unanswered questions for them. I'm sure they both asked, why this journey? Why this pregnancy? Why this plan? After all, they were nobodies, just humble, quiet, everyday people. And if facing the embarrassment of an early pregnancy wasn't enough, they were going to have the Messiah. He was going to be called Emmanuel, God with us. He was to be the Savior of all people. And how do you handle all of that pressure? But they journeyed on. The wedding was to be finalized. The baby was coming soon. And then their journey goes from bad to worse. So we heard in the scriptures earlier, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David. Because he belonged to the house and line of David, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. I can just imagine what Joseph was thinking when he heard about the census. Great. As if life wasn't already hard enough. Now these stupid Romans really want me to take my pregnant wife on a journey across the mountains for a census? He probably looked up to God and said, "What else can you pile on me? Do you know I'm just a carpenter? I'm not Abraham, I'm not Moses, I'm not David. I didn't ask for this responsibility." His journey went from bad to worse. And Joseph didn't have a choice in the matter because the Romans didn't mess around when it came to census and taxes. You could face imprisonment or maybe even death if you didn't comply. So Joseph packs up and heads for his hometown of Bethlehem. And does the journey get any better? Nope. Says in the scriptures that while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Now, growing up, we all knew the traditional translation, there was no room for them in the inn. And here we see that it is translated that there was no guest room available. And most scholars believe this to be the correct translation, that they would have been given the guest room of a house when you went to visit somebody. So we don't believe that Joseph and Mary were kicked out of the local hotel. Joseph and Mary were kicked out of Joseph's own house and relegated to the stable. I don't think that makes it any better, do you? It's one thing for the anonymous innkeeper. You remember that claymation story? There's no room for you in the inn. But you go home and they say, go to the garage. There's no room for you in the house. So they had traveled for days. And Joseph shows up at his family's house. And what happens? Well, his whole family is in town because everybody's whole family is in town. And the house is overflowing with people and animals. Imagine that. You think your driveway is full of cars. Imagine everybody showing up with their horses and donkeys and other stuff. And not only do they have to show up and face the embarrassment of their situation. Oh, my pregnant fiance and I are here. But they are tired because it was a long physical journey. And Mary is ready to give birth at any second. And the family has the nerve to tell them, there's not room for you in the house. So again, their journey goes from bad to worse. And before we say the family didn't have sympathy for the poor pregnant Mary, the family knew that they could not allow Mary to give birth in the house. Because as you know, having a baby is a messy business. And for the Jews, anything related to the touching of blood was serious. Having a baby inside the actual house would have left any room in that house ritually unclean for several days until such time that it could be purified. And anyone who came in contact with that room would have to also undergo ritual cleansing as well. So it was a big deal for her to have a baby in the house full of a lot of people. This means that the house overflowing guest could ill afford to lose another room. So what happened that they were forced to have their baby in the stable. And again, their journey goes from bad to worse. The first 9 months of this journey had been pretty bad. It's not the ideal journey for a child who was to be a savior. And both Mary and Joseph must have wondered, what did they do to deserve this burden? This journey that was supposed to be joyous seems to be going from bad to worse. I mean, after all, they did nothing wrong. Each of them were trying to be obedient servants to God. And now they were stuck in circumstances beyond their control. Has that ever happened to you? You're working hard. You're trying to be a good person. You go to church. You give your offering. And then the wheels start coming off one at a time. Maybe it starts with car problems. And then your mom gets sick. And then you lose your job. And slowly but surely, your journey feels like an overwhelming situation. And you might find yourself saying, and I know I have, why God? Why this journey? Why this plan? Are you even still there, God? So what does this story teach us? First, it teaches us not to judge others and their circumstances, because it's easy to do. We look around and we say, but they made some pretty bad choices, don't we? But Jesus teaches in the New Testament that as he went along, he saw a blind man from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. You see, many societies of the time believed that when bad things happened, it's because you had angered the gods. And the Jews were no exception. If people were born with disabilities or something happened to them, that they thought it was the sin of the parents or the sin of the person. And Jesus reminds us that sometimes bad things happen to good people, and often it's beyond their control. Another point we can pull from this journey that goes from bad to worse is that God can use people in all circumstances. And if we read on further in that verse, when Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Now, let me be clear, bad things can happen because people are being punished. The Israelites wandered for 40 years because of their disbelief and disobedience. Even Moses was punished for making a mistake, and he was not permitted to cross into the promised land. King David was punished for his sins of adultery and murder. But there are times when we are walking with God, when we are trying to do it right, and it seems like the journey is already more than we can handle, and then it seems things go from bad to worse. And in our Christmas story, God used two humble people from humble origins in a Roman-controlled world. They had to endure many challenges and hardships and other difficult circumstances. And for them, it seemed like everything had gone from bad to worse. But as we know now from reading the scriptures, everything happened in order to fulfill the promises and the prophecies. Everything happened so that the works of God might be displayed through them. And through their journey, look at all the people that discovered joy and glorified God. The baby inside of Elizabeth leaped. Elizabeth herself exclaimed her joy. Her husband Zechariah proclaimed the joy of the coming Messiah. The shepherds and angels sang their praises at the news of the birth. Simeon, who was at the temple in his old age, gave praise and thanks to God for being able to see the Messiah. The prophetess Anna, she also gave thanks upon seeing the child. And later, the Magi came and worshiped God and the Messiah. See, we need to remember, it's not about what we can accomplish, but what God can accomplish through us. God is able to do great things through us so that He may be glorified and not us. See, life has to stop being about us. That's what gets us upset in our circumstances. Look what happened to me. Look at my, me, I. And it's hard to find joy in those times. But life is about Him. And when it's about Him, it changes everything. Last week we learned that joy is a choice we make when we look at our present circumstances through the eyes of faith, trusting that God is at work and that He will never leave us or abandon us. And we find joy when we seek God's will and accept God's will. But it doesn't end there. God is glorified when we execute God's will, especially during times when it seems to go from bad to worse. Because it's not about what we can accomplish, but what God can accomplish through us. So instead of looking for blame when bad things happen, perhaps when the journey goes from bad to worse, we should be looking for where God is and how He can use this situation. We should be looking to see how God is at work and what He can do through us and who we can bring joy to. When things go from bad to worse, it is when we have when we need to have our strongest faith. Paul wrote this in his second letter to the Corinthians. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, and insults, and hardships, and persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." When things go from bad to worse, don't rely on your own strength. Rely on the strength of God through your faith. And in our Advent story, God provides means and ways of strength and assurance for both Mary and Joseph. Remember, God gave them a guiding light. a star in their lives that overlooked them on this journey. And along their journey, God provided moments of encouragement and strength for both of them. People like Elizabeth, the shepherds, the prophets at the temple, and the wise men affirmed that they were following God's plan and that God was the one being glorified through their faith. It's not about what we can accomplish, but what God can accomplish through us. When we remain faithful, God will provide us guidance and assurance. And when we remain faithful, God will be glorified through us. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, there are times in each of our lives when we just feel overwhelmed. There are times that no matter how hard we seem to try, we just seem to spin our wheels and nothing seems to happen. But our greatest desperation comes because we are relying on ourselves. Lord, help us learn to rely on you. Let us know that through us, you can do great things, not by our own strength, but by yours. That through your grace, your mercy, your wisdom, that you will lead us and guide us in a way that people see you at work. They see your will being done. They see us being the hands and feet of your Son, Jesus Christ. People will come to know that our faith is real and that our strength comes from you. And that our faith and our strength and even the trying of times will be a powerful witness to let others know that we have something that they don't. Lord, especially during this time when everywhere we turn around it seems there is despair, let us look towards you. Let us seek your will, find your will, and execute your will. Strengthen us and empower us. And in all that we do, may you be glorified. All of this we pray through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us go and remain faithful to the journeys that we have been called to, seeking to glorify God in all that we do. Go now and serve in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.